Blog Talk Radio.
Taking the time to listen to the broadcast. You know, yesterday when I left off from the broadcast, I was talking about the rumors of my alleged drug use, and I was quickly not only attempting, but making what I would call documented statements to and offering to find ways to document my statements and verify my statements that I've never used illicit drugs at all. And when I say never, I mean never. A capital N, capital E, capital V, capital E, capital R. And that such rumors, I don't know where they came from. I don't know if Dr. Miller attempted to provide a professional opinion to the Judicial Tenure Commission or the Supreme Court about my drug use? I don't think so, because they have absolutely no evidence that I ever participated in illicit drug use. And I said it yesterday at the end of the program, and I'm going to say it again today, I've never participated in such use. I have never even touched a marijuana cigarette. Can you believe me? I have never touched meth or crack or anything else illicit. Never. That's with a big never. And I have never engaged in any type of drug use where someone could say that I was seen sharing something or doing something with someone. Those rumors, I don't know what they are, but I have a sense that, and I'm looking at Dr. Miller being qualified as a drug and alcohol expert. Hello? He never examined me. I never provided any records to him about my drug use because there were no instances of drug use, illicit drug use. Now, I am not going to talk at length about my personal medical history here, but to just refute those rumors, you know, I have medicines that I have to take. They're prescribed by a physician. After duly doing examinations and objective tests to verify what my condition is or was. And so that is the only thing that can be pointed to with my regard, in my regard. And these are, again, efforts to discredit me as a person that would be qualified for public office. In the past, even though the Judicial Tenure Commission continued to offer to the public that I was a liar, that I was untruthful, I began my reign of public office with polygraph exams to other claims that I was lying or untruthful by people who never submit to polygraph exams. And as I told the audience before, you, the audience, I said, well, there's only one way to put an end rumors that people put out, whisper campaigns and so forth, is to take a polygraph exam and publish it to the public. Well, the Judicial Tenure Commission never published the polygraph exam that I took when I first entered office, where I voluntarily agreed to take it, paid my own money, they agreed to the examiner, and they didn't publish those results. Well, they should have. In fact, if I had kept the copy, I would have published those results. One thing that is, I think, important about the results is that I passed exclusive truth teller. Hello, on all points in which I was tested. Let's test that polygraph exam. Let me tell you something. That's something to go through. It's kind of like being in a mini electric chair or something. I mean, you can feel those electrodes going through your body. And I thank God, really, that I was able to, because I was confident in what I was saying that was the truth, and I'm confident now. I'm confident now, just as I was then, and I offered to do the same thing for the Judicial Tenure Commission, and they, of course, rejected it, and yet proceeded to adjudicate that I was untruthful, somehow, you know, lied about this and lied about that. I mean, what kind of government agency is that? I mean, are they really out to tell the truth, or are they out to smear, slander, and libel someone? Well, that's not the only thing that they did. I mean, it continues on and on. The story can actually be made into a movie series if you want to know anything about it, but there's such wrongdoing and corruption there. You know, I've had another problem with retaining an attorney. Who would, in such a situation as me, what attorney would walk off and say, oh, I don't think I would take that case? I mean, I've attempted to call attorney after attorney. Today, I made my second attempt to call the Vladek firm. Now, who is the Vladek firm? The Vladek firm represented a young woman, just this year, this young woman, her name is Sanders as well. How about that? Her name is Anuchi Brown Sanders. She was an executive with the New York Knicks, and she received earlier, and I was looking at the article, and I think I posted it on my Twitter page. I did not post it on my Facebook page because there wasn't a link there for the Facebook. That she received about $11.6 million of jury verdict, if you will, for sexual harassment enduring in a hostile work environment, retaliation, and so forth. This is just on a punitive damages part of the case. And I believe with punitive damage, there has to be a level of deliberate, willful, malice-type conduct to harm. And that is was found in connection with the willful firing of this woman and the willful coloring of her behavior as dishonest, just like what's happening to me or what has happened to me. That's not just the punitive damages part of the case. They have yet to decide the part of the case that deals with the compensatory damages, this normal damages. And, you know, I pulled the article because my case is so similar to hers that I want to read a portion. So what lawyer now will walk away from my case after having a client make this statement, make this kind of statement to the media? And I read, in quote, the women who, let me read the whole paragraph. After the punitive damages were announced, Ms. Brown Sanders appeared outside the courtroom and said the decision was important. We're talking about the jury decision here, was important not just for herself, but also for, in quotes, the women who don't have the means and couldn't possibly have done what I was able to do, in quotes, and for, in quotes, every body that cares about working in a civil work environment. Now, she spoke on her own behalf, her attorneys being with her. Well, I contacted those attorneys, and I'm going to see if I'm going to be successful this time. I can't imagine attorneys that would walk off from this type of case when it's easily proven, and certainly the damages have stacked up, in my opinion. Anytime there's a libel, there's a slander of a public official, it's false, willfully false, as it is and was here. Certainly there are substantial damages have taken place. I had just been elected to a second term of office for the next 6 years, being the top person with the most votes in my race, and yet I am the one being removed illegally from office. So I'm going to see what my legal fight is going to be, how it is going to be, and if these lawyers are going to step up. I'm not going to make any claims now that I believe there's been some lawyer tampering going on, because I've called several without even a phone call back. I think that's quite suspicious. I know, as a litigating lawyer for several years, that I would race to a case like this, and I'm trying to see what the holdup is. Well, as always, I'm just going to be here on Setting the Record Straight, and just speaking from my heart. I think tomorrow I'd like to deal with something that's a little bit different here on this platform, on this forum, and that is the satanic statute that has been placed in the middle of Eastern Market. My goodness, I was so appalled when I saw the article about 2 days ago. And how I believe that it relates to my situation in particular, I think that I will address that tomorrow. I think it's very important, and you will probably see a connection as well with that event. Well, I'd like to, again, thank you for listening to the broadcast. You may go to the link at Setting the Record Straight, blogtalkradio.com/ Setting the Record Straight 215 to listen to an archived version of this instant episode. You may email me at any time. Now, come on now. I'm still waiting for email at bks1233@outlook.com. Should you have any questions? Should you have input? Should you have a request for information from me? you may go to that email, and I will certainly be available to answer your questions. I'm going to give out right now the call-in number that that the callers can use once I start receiving call-ins from the listening audience. Let me give you that number. It's going to be 347-850-1956. So when I ask for call-ins, that's the number, area code 347-850-1956. Okay, thank you for listening to the broadcast. Have a good evening and talk to you tomorrow.